News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:07 on Mobile Mornings.
And we're joined, as always, on Tuesdays by Quinn Hillier. You can read his work at quinnhillier.com. He also writes for The Advocate and NOLA.com over in Louisiana. And good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys, and good morning, listeners.
So, quite a way to bring in the new year this past weekend with the amazing operation that resulted in zero loss of American lives, capturing Maduro and his wife from their compound, their military base they were living at in Venezuela. And, of course, all of the responses popping up from the left and the right. What are your overall views of that arrest? And if you want to talk a little bit about how that operation went down, floor's yours.
Well, thank you. First of all, how it went down, my hat is off to the U.S. military and presumably intelligence services as well. The idea of being able to go to a foreign country's, a fairly wealthy foreign country, even though their people don't share in the wealth, but, you know, a fairly wealthy foreign country's president and be able to extract him, to get in and extract him and his wife while they're sleeping without killing anybody or being, as far as I know.
They killed 32 Cubans that were security for Maduro.
Oh, they... 32 Cubans, okay. But without, you know, without having, you know, any kind of major conflagration, is really astonishing. And the fact is that this guy was is a very, very bad dude. Trump tried to support a popular uprising against him in Trump's first term, and then he sort of fumbled it. But in this case, you know, you got to credit the military. So, operation, good. Legality, iffy, but based on the precedent of what the elder Bush did with Noriega in Panama, I'm seeing arguments that, you know, that you can make a legal case for what they did. This guy was not a legitimate leader in any way, shape, or form, and he was under indictment, and there are other, you know, there are other reasons. What does concern me, and I give, I'm giving Trump full credit and the military full credit for carrying this off and for it being a good target. It was good to target this guy and get him gone. What bothers me is that he let the oil companies know, but he didn't let Congress know. This is a Congress of his own party, even. And in operations like this, you call the Speaker, you call the Minority Leader, you call the Senate majority and Minority Leaders, and you brief them at least as it's happening. That is absolutely necessary, and Trump should not have done it, and he sure as heck shouldn't have done it, shouldn't have failed to do that, while he did tell, apparently, American oil companies. There's something wrong with that, and, you know, the law and the precedent and the proper procedures are important. So that's a caveat. Other than that, pretty good deal.
Every time we go through something like this and the Gang of Eight aren't told, the reasoning is always leaks, right? They say that they'll leak. Is there not a harsh enough punishment for leaks? Because it does seem like there's something to it. Would you have put it past Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries to not leak this if they were told beforehand?
Don't even tell them beforehand. Call them in for a meeting. Or a secure, you know, if they've got the technology for secure whatever, you know, in, you know, Teams meeting or whatever. But as the operation is going on or something like that. You don't wait for them to find out about it on the news. You just don't. And, yeah, you're worried about leaks. Maybe that's why you wait to the very last minute. But you do tell them that's there is a problem with a president acting as if he is the unilateral authoritarian person who runs the country. That's not how we should be set up. And again, I'm saying this while saying that in general, I support both the goal and the obviously happy with the conduct of it. But you do need to follow procedure.
You know, early polling shows a majority of Americans are concerned that this carries on, that there's some extended military action, and God forbid, you know, boots on the ground. But I think also if you polled Americans and said, if that's it, if that's how it went down and it's pretty much over now as far as the military is concerned, I think a vast majority would appreciate that too. So I think a lot of Democrats are upset with the way the heads of their party have handled this. It seems so hypocritical that just in 2020, they were hammering Trump for not going harder after Maduro and saying he was a puppet of Trump because of that. A lot of people think the Democrats should have taken more of the Fetterman approach to this thing.
And if they are complaining about the Democratic leaders on those fronts, those complaints are absolutely valid. Both sides are so full of hypocrisy in so many ways right now, cheering when their side does something that they completely criticize when the other side does it, or vice versa. It's sort of sickening. But in this case, this guy had to go. Democrats themselves said he had to go. And their comments should be a little more circumspect. And you're right, they're also not very politically smart.
Quinn, can you give us a little perspective on Venezuela? I guess it maybe was not much more than 20 or 25 years ago. It was a democracy. I guess you could say it was a flourishing democracy. And then, of course, it took a turn for the worse. And then when Maduro was kind of handed the keys.
From
Chavez. Maybe not quite as brutal a guy as Chavez or a kingpin type leader. But this country is just there is that hint of history of democracy. Is that the end game here for Americans?
Well, the end game has to be a legitimate government and one that does not, A, brutalize its people, B, most important, threaten its neighbors, C, steal oil wealth that is not its own, meaning more than just taxing it or whatever, actually seizing the ownership mm-hmm. from the
private companies
that have mm-hmm. actually paid for it.
Yep.
Not just causing unrest in the whole region. So we do have an interest in, obviously we would prefer democracy. Trump is dead wrong, by the way, to not offer full-throated support to the winners of the last two elections down there, the actual winners, the people that actually beat Maduro, and then he didn't. Mm-hmm. He cheated to hold on to power. There's no good reason not to offer verbal support to those people, and frankly, not good reason not to offer more than verbal support to those people. But democracy is important. What's absolutely important is those four things I just said.
And I've used this cliche probably too many times already these last couple of days, but it seems like the Trump administration really trying to thread the needle here and not do a full-on regime change, but make things scary enough for the new leader and leaders, who many of them were indicted just the same as Maduro.
As lousy as he is.
But he's saying, listen, they're going to listen to me because they could have a worse fate than Maduro. I wonder how that's going to go, especially with some of the pressure from Havana and from Russia and China, but also when you bring in the Monroe Doctrine, like bringing it back, and Trump really trying to make sure that China and Russia, our true adversaries, aren't able to gain a strong and close foothold in the Western Hemisphere. What do you make of these moves?
Well, again, I think he should have offered support to the actual correct Democratic leaders. I think he should have not just said, you can stay in power, to the vice president and other people. He should have said, you must resign or else what happened to Maduro will be child's play compared to what happens to you. He should actually not just say you can have power, but as long as you cooperate. He should actually say, no, you're gone too, you're under indictment, you're lucky we don't come get you. That said, we have a real reason to not want to get involved in heavy nation building, but we also shouldn't be just taking out one dictator and replacing them
with another.
Replacing him with another.
So
let me actually.
But
say
another. One more, go ahead.
One more thing that is very good, and to Trump's credit. The reason the oil fields are important is not just, America is not going to take ownership of it. They'll actually go back to the oil companies that spent the money to develop them. But it is they are of strategic importance, mm-hmm. because China was going to rely on those oil fields to basically fund its military adventurism, including a possible invasion of Taiwan. This actually shrinks the availability of oil and gas to China, and therefore it is of very great importance in terms of global politics and global balance of power. So that's another good reason for Trump to have done it.
And so tell me if I'm reading this right, Dalton, feel free to chime in too. By Trump's calculations, the legit winners or the opposition party or whatever you want to call them, they don't offer him the same bargaining power that the bad guys in position do. First of all, that's a lot of people to clean out. So if you just say, okay, you're there, we get it, not by the best means, but from this point on, you're playing ball with me.
Yeah, what I say goes.
What I say goes. That's what my best guess is, because Trump's all about deals.
He's all about deals, but that's a bad deal, because you actually leave somebody in power and, you can't ride herd on them forever. And so, you maybe have them be a little worried about you for a month or so, but, U.S. attention turns elsewhere, and they're still in power, and they just start doing what Maduro did and what Chavez did, and then what are you going to do, ramp the whole thing up again? I think he should have offered much stronger support to the legitimate, basically rightly elected leaders, even though they weren't the election wasn't recognized. But they were seen by the entire international community. The I can't remember the name of the lady,
Maria Machado.
Machado was the legitimate winner, and Trump should say so.
Yeah, and she had a cutout. I can't remember his name. He was the one who was actually actually running.
Yeah.
When we get back from a short break, too, I want to kind of tie this to something else that the Secretary of War re-brought up yesterday regarding Mark Kelly and the video that they made a while back. I saw some folks saying, what if the military would have disobeyed those commands going down into Venezuela to pick up Maduro? So I want to get into that conversation with you too, Quinn, after this short break. And we're also going to talk about why isn't there a GOP candidate running against Shamari Figures for District 2 in the midterms to this point?
Sean hasn't announced yet. It's 8:21, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. More with Quinn Hillier on the way.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news, text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:24.
And talking with Quinn Hillier, we'll continue that conversation now. Yesterday, after the successful operation over the weekend, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth bringing the attention back to Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, saying he could face a demotion and reduced military retirement pay after the Pentagon launched administrative action tied to Kelly's role in that video urging service members to refuse what were described as illegal orders. Hegseth again called Kelly's conduct seditious in nature and announced a formal review of his retired rank. Quinn, we talked about this once the video came out.
Yeah, a couple of weeks back, maybe a month ago.
It was a while back now point. Yeah, but what are you making of this latest from Hegseth?
Two things. Number one, and the least important, it's politically really, really stupid. Right at the time, you know, people have said he's an incompetent Secretary of Defense. Right at the time when he should be bragging about the incredibly good military operation in Venezuela, he steps all over the news by doing this. That's just politically stupid. I mean, that takes the story away from something that makes him universally look good, makes the administration look universally good in terms of the conduct of it, of that operation. Secondly, he's just dead wrong on the issue. He himself, in 2016, there's video of him saying the exact same thing Mark Kelly said, and at the, I think it's at West Point, there is actually a plaque that says the exact same thing Mark Kelly said. Mark Kelly did nothing seditious or even close. All he said was what is absolutely military doctrine and basically part of the oath, is that if you have an absolutely clearly unlawful order, you do not have to follow it. And he is Kelly was reminding people of that. Yeah, Kelly was trying to, you know, trying to create a little, you know,
He was trying to goat Republicans a little bit. He was trying to get under the skin.
But what he said was absolutely 100% allowable and not punishable, certainly not subject of a court martial or prosecution. And to even say that you should reduce somebody's rank and pay for saying something that is on a plaque and a part of official doctrine, that's sick. It's wrong. It is absolutely obscene. And Hegseth should be ashamed of himself. And that's not to say that I approve of Kelly choosing that moment to say it, or to say it on a video or whatever. You know, Kelly was being sort of a jerk. But what he said was fine. And if there's a review board, the review board should kick this action out entirely and tell Hegseth, go worry about other things.
Just a couple minutes left here. Let's talk a little bit about midterms and qualifying opening. Tuberville officially qualifying to run for governor. We had some movement with Sorrell dropping out of the Secretary of State race and rejoining to rerun for auditor. But surprising to you that so far no GOP candidate has stepped into the ring to face Shamari Figures for District 2?
Yeah, and just to be clear, this is nothing against Shamari Figures. I've actually had some people who I was surprised told me just how impressed I've been with some of the ways that Shamari Figures has been working and operating for us. So this is not to say that Shamari Figures deserves to be defeated. It does say, just from a purely political analyst standpoint, it's really bizarre that Republicans in a district that is still technically winnable, that they don't have a candidate. And that is that shows that the RNC is not doing its job. The National Republican Congressional Committee is not doing their job, because I've run the numbers again and again and again, and especially in an off-year election, this is not an easily winnable seat, but this is a winnable seat. And Republicans have, what, only a four-seat majority? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they lose four seats, they're out. So why not try
roll
to make
the dice.
Democrats defend a seat, and it just makes no sense.
Jason on the text line asks, is it a failure of John Wall to not have a candidate ready to challenge Shamari?
Yes. It's a failure of every part of the Republican Party, state and national, to not have a serious candidate in this race, to not even show signs of having tried to recruit one. And I've actually talked to national figures, and they just don't seem to get it.
Yeah, it really is kind of a national seat. I mean, when you look at it, it's for national consequences. Mm-hmm.
It's as swingy as it gets in Alabama, yeah. That's for sure.
Thanks a bunch, Quinn. We appreciate your time again.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Quinn Hillier. Coming up, Ben Murphy. Ben Murphy Roofing joins us. That grant program qualifying reopens today for Mobile County residents. He'll tell us everything we need to know on the way next.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, indeed. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. Fog an issue out there. Not necessarily here at 65 in Airport, but maybe for some of you it is so. That advisory is out there, so just be careful. And right now we have a lot of sunshine.
We do. And it's going to be a warm next couple of days. Potentially record-setting, but cool-down coming back with some rain over the weekend. Speaking of inclement weather, which we're never out of range of, Ben Murphy with Ben Murphy Roofing joins us this morning, and it's an important morning for those who are looking to get a new fortified roof in Mobile County and in a couple days for Baldwin County residents. Ben Murphy in with us. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. So I love our small talk a little bit every time you come in. I don't know how any of us are expected to keep up with this, the transfer portal stuff, but congratulations to you and Auburn fans. I guess congratulations are in order. Got quarterback that a lot of folks would be headed that way, Byron Brown. So not completely struck out in the portal so far.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a good deal.
Yeah, it should be. So
Ben, obviously a Auburn guy and an Auburn booster. You got a son up there too, right?
I do, yes, sir.
So, this portal is rather... I mean,
we were just talking about all
maddening.
The different quarterbacks.
It's
insane.
It's amazing. The quarterback that was, and it really doesn't make any geographical logic or anything like that. You've got guys going from Arizona State to LSU and
from Harvard to TCU,
Auburn to UNLV, and on it goes. So
yeah, we'll keep you updated the
Georgia
sports report.
Georgia, we still have Huck Finn at quarterback, so he's not going anywhere. After the other night, he might not know how to spell his name.
Might not be able to move. Yeah,
yeah, really.
But Ben, we brought you in to talk about roofing and fortified homes, and obviously Ben Murphy does such a great job. Ben Murphy Roofing with everything fortified, and there's even some trade magazines that you've been featured in more than once, I believe, talking about these fortified roofs.
Yeah, we've been in Fine Home Building Magazine, been in the Wall Street Journal, so we've been in a few things.
Yeah, I remember when that Wall Street Journal article came out, and I was just reading. You know, I wasn't looking for any
Ben
local
Murphy's
spin,
man.
And I see you in there, and I'm like, holy cow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's catching on, not just in the state, but around the rest of the Southeast, and I imagine other parts of the country. This Strengthen Alabama Homes grant program, it's a good thing for homeowners in dangerous areas weather-wise, and it's a good thing for the insurance companies, too.
Yeah, yep. It saves them money, saves the homeowners money. Everybody gets a better roof on their house, and minimizes the risk for the insurance companies.
Yeah,
it's kind of a good deal for everybody.
It's a win-win. I mean,
it is.
Insurance companies love it too. And it was interesting. We were talking to Dr. Bill last hour, and I guess you brought it up, and I hadn't really thought about it, but we have kind of gotten past an area of the year, of the calendar, when sometimes we do have kind of twisters. You remember some of the December tornadoes that we've had around here. We think of that in the springtime, but you're right, November and December.
Yeah.
So it's almost like if you live down here, you don't really have many open lanes. You don't have to worry about anything, including your roof.
Well, I mean, now's the time to get your roof to get ready for hurricane season. Unfortunately, it's just right around the corner again. And we get done with one season, here we go into the next.
Yeah,
and I'm sure there's no actual, thing you can look at and say, well, we didn't have one last year, so we're definitely due for one this year. But I can't help but feel that way. It's been several years now since Sally and Zeta. Was that the other
Zeta,
one?
Zeta, yeah.
It caused a little damage around here.
Poor advice to let your guard down, but you kind of naturally do that when you have a few seasons in a row where you have nothing. But just I guess it was 2021 where we had those.
Yeah, 2020 maybe.
2020, two powerful storms back to back.
Too far behind. But Sally was one of those first real storms where you got a good look at how these fortified homes and roofs hold up around here to some really strong winds and rain.
Yeah, that was a good test because, you know, the coastal Alabama area was, of course, the leader in the fortified. And so that was the first major storm that hit an area that had a lot of concentrated fortified roofs. So, I mean, it worked. I mean, the proof's in the pudding, you know. It houses that had fortified roofs withstand the storm just fine. Ones that didn't, obviously, had damage. But, you know, that allowed us to get a lot of fortified roofs on homes that weren't fortified.
Yeah. So, yeah. Once people saw the proof, I think that they were like, and I remember when we, when I maybe it was on your website as well, Ben, but somewhere there were the picture evidence of here are the roofs that were fortified and here are homes right near them that were not, and the damage was substantial to those that were not.
Yeah, so that aerial photo that the IBHS uses is actually a neighborhood that we did all those roofs.
Wow.
And so we actually got to go back in and do most of the roofs in there that they were not fortified to bring it up. So.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about first what fortified means, and then we'll get into the program, which for Mobile County residents, that window opening up in 20 minutes at strengthenalabamahomes.com. Talk about, you know, what makes a roof fortified.
Yeah, so the biggest thing with the fortified roof is the secondary water barrier. What it does, it seals the roof deck on top of the plywood, which keeps, you know, if the shingles were to fail, keeps water from intruding into the house. Now, the Strengthen Alabama Homes program goes above and beyond what the minimum for the IBHS program is, which they do a fully adhered membrane, which is basically a big sticker. They peel the backing off, and it seals right to the plywood. But in addition to that, we re-nail the roof decking with ring shank nails. There's nailing patterns on the eave metal that, you know, for the engineers have figured out the best the nailing pattern on that. We put sealed starters down, and you know, then all the accessories have to be high wind rated accessories, which is your ridge vents, plumbing boots, all that.
And you know, even if the bad weather isn't your top concern, when I look at homes, you go to Zillow or browse some realtors' catalogs, most of the time, the first thing that people put up about their home that's on the market is that it has a fortified roof. And a lot of people, when they're looking to move into a new home, if it doesn't have that, they're really not interested these days. So in addition to just keeping your home safe, if you're putting it back out on the market, that's a really helpful thing to have. Yeah,
it's a great marketing tool because it's a household term now. Where 10 years ago, nobody knew what it was. And now, you know, of course, most new houses in the coastal areas are fortified gold. But, fortified has come a long way, and it's a household name, and people ask for it. So
that makes it easier for you, I'm sure. Can you get an existing roof inspected to qualify for a fortified roof? That's a question on the text line.
Yeah, not really, unless you documented everything to the fortified standard and you have all the documentation, invoices, pictures, photographs. It's really difficult to do. Not saying it can't be done, but it's more than likely not can be done.
Another question from Pat, and this is probably a pretty wide-ranging answer, so I'm not sure if you'd have a specific answer. He said, on average, you know, because this is up to a $10,000 grant, he said, what do customers pay out of pocket usually after the credit for these roofs? I know it takes a big old chunk out, if not
a lot of it depends on the size of the house. I mean, you know, the more material, the more labor you got, the higher the cost. But, you know, in this area, you know, the average is probably $16,000 to $17,000 just for an average house. Of course, if you have a, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square foot house, it's going to be, you know,
more,
a lot higher.
Yeah.
And we do occasionally have them that right are at the $10,000 mark on the smaller homes.
Man, that's amazing to get your house fortified. And I'll tell you what, if I were a homeowner at this time, and it came out to maybe $6,000 or $7,000, you know, for the fortified roof, considering the grant, I think I'd jump all over that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems like the thing to do.
Well, we offer financing options for anything over the $10,000 that homeowners need help with.
Okay, good.
They've also made some changes, I think some good changes, although I wish they wouldn't offer this to any other counties. I know you're fine with it, but they had that.
Let the man make a living, will you?
They had the midnight opening for so long, and both Mobile and Baldwin County residents at the same time entering. And that was so difficult. People were trying to go back to work on a Monday and having to stay up very late into the night and then maybe not even get the answer they wanted to because it's so popular of a program. I love that they split the counties and they moved it to 9 a.m., and which Mobile County coming up in at 9 this morning, Baldwin County 9 on Thursday. They even opened this up to other counties across the state back in November, Jefferson, Tuscaloosa, and Escambia. Yeah. Have you noticed, what's the response been kind of in these other counties?
So Jefferson County sold out in about a day and a half. Tuscaloosa took about a week, and I believe there's still grants available in Escambia County.
Okay, and let's talk about this process, and we've discussed it before, but strengthenalabamahomes.com, they have all the information there for what you need, but just generally, if someone's logging on and wanting to enter the mix for this, what do they need to know, what do they need to have?
Well, you know, you've got to own your own home. It has to be your primary residence. It needs to be insured, which, of course, hopefully most people are.
That was a question on the text line, by the way, that I thought the answer was obvious. Yeah, to be part of this, you need insurance.
Yep, you got to be insured. And you know, the most important thing is probably go on and make yourself comfortable with the website before you – don't try to log on at 9 o'clock, never being on there, because you'll probably get swallowed up in it. But – go on, make sure you know what you're doing, get comfortable with the site. You know, if you've got somebody in your family that's a little bit more computer savvy, it might be beneficial to have them help you. But, you know, have everything ready to go, and then, you know, just keep hitting the refresh button.
And cross your fingers, too. Yeah. Bill in Westmobile says, what's the difference from gold or silver?
So silver deals with impact protection, impact windows, impact doors mainly, and gold deals with structural load paths. Just remember that gold typically cannot be done on a remodel. It has to be done, you know, from the ground up in new construction because the engineers have to be involved all the way from the footings through the roof.
Yeah, it's the guts and everything makes it fortified. Daniel says here, I bought my house in January 2020 in South Baldwin County. No one in our neighborhood had roof issues after Sally. The fortified building and roof was great.
Wow.
Yep, it's good.
And you hear that from customers, too.
We do. We hear it a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Michael, and I don't know, again, if you have an answer for this, how much does a homeowner have to pay in taxes from the fortified grant? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know that. I'm probably just, you know, consult your accountant.
Yeah. I'd like to say I have one on speed dial. Well, actually, I have one in my house. What am I talking about? I'm married to one. So I need to put her on speed dial.
Yeah.
Well, Ben,
you have relations with your accountant. That's really impressive.
Legal, all above board. Well, Ben, this is great, and I'm going to try to jump in the mix here again in 14 minutes, and I know of plenty of other people, plenty of our other listeners will as well. So again, it's today, 9 a.m. for Mobile County residents, Thursday for Baldwin County residents at 9 a.m. And this is every quarter, right? So every 3 months they open this back up.
Yeah, if you can actually go on the website and look at the schedule for the rest of the year. They've posted it for, you know, the January, the April. It's all the way through the rest of the year.
Well, good news. I hope we don't get another strong test of these fortified roofs anytime soon, but we know how living down here works. So
yeah, I mean, the peace of mind you have, the roof looks great, by the way, makes the house look great. The peace of mind you have, and the, you know, the chances are you're going to get something in the lifetime of that roof, and also just the resale.
Yeah, and side note, you know, this is probably obvious to a lot of people, but there's no, like, one standard look for the fortified roof, because I talk all the time about the different colors of these Atlas shingles that you guys use, and there's all kinds.
Yeah, I mean, we can do shingles, we can do metal, we can do just about any type of roof to the fortified.
Good stuff. Well, Ben, we appreciate you coming in again today, and you know, good luck to your Auburn Tigers the rest of the way through the portal. Have high hopes for Golish, so we'll see if he can get it done. Maybe we'll get Golish a fortified roof, although I'm sure he's probably already set.
Well, he doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to go online or anything like that. He's getting paid plenty at Auburn.
He doesn't have a fortified roster right now.
No, he does not.
He probably doesn't need the grant.
Probably doesn't. Thanks, Ben. 8:47, coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
8:51, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to the text line here in a minute. Also let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. First, I want to tell you about our friends over at Tobias and Comer Law. If you need guidance after an injury, look no further than Tobias and Comer. They're your Mobile-based personal injury experts on Dolphin Street. Decades of experience there at Tobias and Comer to plenty of folks in our community. They deliver fair compensation without the runaround, which folks seem to get from a lot of these other offices. Attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith stay by your side from start to finish, and they handle it all. Car and boating accidents, defective products, workplace injuries, maritime claims, and beyond. You can check out the website, too. It's great and full of free resources. They have good blog posts on there full of information, TobiasComerLaw.com. And they also post up about all their great community efforts. You know, they do Operation Backpack going into the school year. They had this food pantry drive for the holiday season with Love All Pantry. So you know they love Mobile and the surrounding community. And, of course, don't miss our monthly Law 251 podcast where we break down local legal topics. So call 251-432-5001 for a no-cost consultation day or night. And that website, again, TobiasComerLaw.com.
Now you want to get some text real quick. I want to run this by you too, Dalton, and our audience as well. You know, when ICE getting so much pushback on the streets, sometimes it's a concerted, organized effort. Sometimes it's just protesters who are against what ICE is doing, which what they're doing seems to be, you know, legal.
Mm-hmm.
So the pushback, though, has been I never thought I'd see the day where you had this kind of reaction to people in law enforcement trying to remove illegal immigrants from the streets of our cities. But it's happening for sure. Now, up in Minneapolis, this is a step further. Homeland Security used an ex post Monday to say that Hilton hotels are denying rooms if you're with the Department of Homeland Security. So if you're an officer with ICE or the Department of Homeland Security, you're trying to get a hotel in mm-hmm. the Minneapolis area. I don't know how they're doing it, but according to DHS, they are denying them rooms.
And you say it was Hilton?
Yep.
So the Hilton parent company said that was a kind of a franchise owner's decision.
Yeah, local.
That they were looking into it.
It sounds like a local decision, doesn't it, up in Minneapolis?
I don't think it's a great move, but it did get me wondering, though, about the Third Amendment. And I saw a funny meme the other day. It was like a Third Amendment. was it like a this guy who is like head of the Third Amendment Party? He was like another year without quartering troops, another successful year, because the Third doesn't get as much conversation as the First or Second yep. Amendment. But I do wonder how that relates to the quartering of troops. I don't know. I don't know how that ties in. I didn't have enough time to really look into it.
But I don't know.
I know it's a legal business hotel, right?
Yep.
But they can refuse service. I'm, again, against their actions. I just wonder how kind of that all ties in, if it does at all.
I mean, to me, it doesn't sound – I think it's terrible PR for Hilton. So if it's a franchisee, they need to muscle him up and say, hey.
Figure it out.
And also, it seems to be discrimination, illegal to do that, to deny someone the right to stay at your hotel when they've done nothing wrong legally or they haven't done anything except something that you're politically opposed to.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I think it's a bad PR move. Maybe we have some legal experts who can break that down and whether Third Amendment qualifies for something like that.
Tobias and Comer.
Yeah. Well, if we put Brian on it, he'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, he will.
We need to get him back in, too, because I love bringing up interesting legal topics with him, even outside of injury law. He does a great job with it.
He's good with stuff like that.
Going to the text line, let's see here. Rock and Roll Doctor, on the heels of our Quinn conversation, he said it was a bad political move for Hegseth to turn the bullseye back on Senator Mark Kelly over that Seditious Six video that they all posted up there. And he was like, why wouldn't you just take the win with the great military operation over the weekend instead of getting back into this muck with Kelly? And Rock and Roll Doctor says Hegseth doesn't have time to brag. He's pretty busy. Waving the victory flag is for pansies. Hegseth doesn't care about that. And it is a good question. You know, what if some of the military that were part of that operation, and it was an enormous operation, what if they had done just what those Democrats were telling them to do? Refuse the orders. And now that some Democrats are saying that was an illegal action to go scoop up Maduro, mm-hmm. which the Biden administration would have done the same thing if they put airs on, like they would have done the same thing if they had the opportunity. But, you know, if Democrats, some are saying it was an illegal activity, then they were basically saying that, well, they should have refused those orders to go down there and scoop Maduro up.
One thing Quinn said that I did agree with was just the rhetoric on both sides. We're maybe a little tone deaf to some of on the right because of the views that we may hold, but left and right, just yap, yap, yap. I mean, give me a break. And this Schumer audio you played yesterday, and you've done this in the past, I guess. With Schumer, we had one from 20 years ago that was like off the charts, what he had to say then, as opposed to what he's screaming. It's the fact that you're screaming at the top of your lungs, like this is really something that you're disgusted by, and then you go back 6 years ago, you were with the same passion,
yeah,
saying the exact opposite.
Well, it's not a good look, but let me remind you too that Mark Kelly is a senator. Hegseth was a political, commentary dude back mm-hmm. then. He was writing books.
Oh yeah, but as far as that, I'm not talking about.
The Hegseth video.
I'm just talking about just some of the stuff you pulled up from
Schumer.
From Schumer,
It's incredibly hypocritical. And I think it was even the odds continue to show that for the midterms, odds on are that Democrats will re-win the House and Republicans will hold the Senate. I've got to tell you, I think 2026 is setting up to be a massive year for the Trump administration and thereby all of the Republicans who have yet to jump ship, meaning, I think Thomas Massie and obviously the Marjorie Taylor Greens, and some of them that jumped ship are going to be hurting, and MTG has already dropped out. But you look at this military action that was so smooth to this point, and if the economy turns the way that they believe it's going to turn, and if the tax returns look as good for as many Americans as they think, look at how low gas prices have already gotten.
Yeah, I agree.
May continue to drop.
That news needs to be it needs to be amplified. Americans need to be aware. They should be aware of their pocketbook doing better. I think you're right about the tax returns. Quickly in April or sooner, you could see a kind of mini celebration around the country with that.
And if these top Democrats continue to transparently just be against anything Trump does, even if it's popular among the nation majority, they're going to be feeling it. I think Republicans could swing both again. April Marie Fogel's in for Jeff Poor coming up.